Welcome to the Hero Hub podcast, where we explore the journeys of the industry innovators, trailblazers, and game changers who are shaping the future of vehicles and equipment. Whether you're here for cutting-edge tech, business strategies, or simple love of the ride, this is where you'll find the inspiration to fuel your journey.
I'm Paul Thistle. Our dealership is Blue Ridge Yamaha and Polaris. It's in Blue Ridge, Georgia. We're a Yamaha Polaris dealership. We've been here, this dealership's been here since 1988. I've been here since 1990. We bought it, my wife and I bought it in 98, and just normal small business.
How did you get into power sports?
When I was a kid, I didn't have any money, so anything I wanted, I had to work on or work to make the money to afford. And I enjoyed working on bikes, anything about motorcycles. So that's pretty much what drew me to the industry.
What was your first ride? Do you remember?
My first bike that I owned was a Yamaha RD60. It's a little, small little Yamaha street bike. I got a paper out where we lived at, and I used it to deliver papers. So.
Was there a moment where you knew that this was the right career path, that power sports was the right industry?
Yeah, pretty much right off the, when I first started working in a shop in 76, 77, I pretty much knew that is what I wanted to do. And that's what I worked towards, was learning all I could about a dealership, how dealerships run. And, you know, started working on them, but I tried to learn everything I could about a dealership.
How did you move your way up?
I came as a service manager, but the people that bought the dealership at the time weren't very knowledgeable on how a dealership needed, you know, certain aspects of it, what would be, they just didn't know anything about power sports. And I helped them with a lot of stuff, helped them with ordering things, helped them with a lot of parts of it. And it just grew from that. I mean, and tricked my way into it, or they tricked me.
What's your why for what you do every day?
Just to help people get what they need.
Talk about what makes your dealership different from other dealerships. How do you differentiate? What makes you special?
We're a little stronger service. We're pretty old school. When you come in, it's not the corporate feel. It's, if you are going somewhere to buy something, it is how you would want to be treated. It is definitely mom and pop shop.
That is what people are looking for, huh?
They do, and the OEMs keep pushing you the other way.
It's time for hot takes. One controversial power sport question, one raw answer. No time to think, just real talk.
If your dealership disappeared tomorrow, what impact would that have on your community?
I'm the only game in town. There would be scrambling for service because there's not another service shop of any size, any capacity within 15 miles of here, and really within 30 or 40. So it's we're small town. There's a bunch of small towns in the area, but the next closest big town that's remotely close in service is probably an hour away. Yeah, they would be scrambling for service if we were not here.
That's got to be a good feeling, knowing you're helping the community with something they really need.
It's time for good review, bad review. We've researched your dealership and pulled a 1-star review and a 5-star review. How would you handle these situations? Let's find out.
Okay, so we're going to start on the bad one. Rebecca says, there aren't many local options for OEM parts, so we ordered a replacement thermostat for our Razor through them. When it came in, there was no gasket required for the install. When we asked about the missing gasket, the staff member said, yeah, they don't come with one. You have to order it separate. They never shared that they were sold separately when we placed the order or verified if we needed both items so that we could complete the install. A little care for the customer to ensure they got all the parts they needed would have gone a long way. What do you do when you get a review like this? How do you handle it?
You know, if I'm looking at a company and I want to look at their reviews, you're going to have good reviews, you're going to have bad reviews. They called with a part number. This is what we want. Okay, we'll get it for you. And then we got it, and then they give us a bad review. It's almost like, I don't even want to respond. I don't want to respond and be negative or positive. They didn't get what they wanted. They were disappointed. I don't think I'm going to be able to help that. I mean, you know, if I'm looking at something, you look at reviews, you can you're never going to find somewhere that doesn't have bad reviews.
Let's talk about your good review here. John says, "These guys are the best around. They really care about their customers. I just bought my son a used bike there about a month ago. He loves it, but he's still learning how to drive it. And he laid it down in our gravel driveway, causing the front tire to wobble and lay sideways a bit. Paul took one look at it, took it in the back, and within 10 minutes had it fixed. Then he wouldn't let me pay him anything. Super nice folks here who care about people. Thanks, Paul, and everyone at Blue Ridge Yamaha." Tell me about how that happens. How do you train to make your team and to get everybody to respond consistently?
Well, the way you train your team to react like that is that you always react like that. If it's something simple or minor, you just, something that it took me a few minutes and, little tweaks, straighten it up, tighten it up, and he was ready to go. We're all excited to get it and, a little disappointed that he was afraid he was going to be down for a little bit and got it straightened up. And he was, had the real warm fuzzy going there.
I love hearing that kind of story. It really restores your faith in humanity a little bit. Tell me about something that people don't see behind the showroom floor. What's going on behind the scenes?
They don't see the amount of effort that it, or amount of planning, foresight it takes to have parts and stuff, people available to do whatever work needs to be done, accessories and so, people come in wanting things and they don't see what's behind. They don't see, in service, they don't see how, they don't know what all is necessary to make that happen. They just, want their bike serviced. They don't want to know about, the difficulty you have getting rid of old gas or getting rid of, or waste oil or anything. They just need their machine serviced. They don't want to know about any issues you have. But a lot of stuff, just stocking units, bikes, they don't know anything. Every business would be that way. I mean, but for sure. But a lot of customers, they really don't see that. I don't know how they couldn't, but you don't know what you don't know.
Tell me about how you balance work and family life.
Not very well. We try to take the weekends off and not do anything. I do tend to work too much, but I don't have any kids at home anymore, so it is a battle to try to stay not so focused on work. We try to make time and take off, but as a business owner, when something's coming up short, you are the one that has to fill that need.
If you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be? What would you tell your past self?
I wouldn't have listened. It's surprising how much money it takes. Surprising how much money. You start with X amount of money and you're like, you're always short, always short, always short. And to do it well and to do a good job at it, it takes a lot of money. And it's, I don't know if you could overplan it. I see people price things, price businesses, price whatever, and people are like, oh, it's way too high. Anyhow, I've had a friend tell me that asked me to price my business, and I just priced it. At that time, this has been 25 years ago, 20 years ago. And anyhow, 3 or 4 years later, we were doing something. He told me, he said, wow, he said, you really priced your business cheap, didn't you? I said, yes, I did. People don't know what they don't know. And what would I change if I could go back? Might plan better for the end, but.
I want to hear what one of the biggest changes you've seen in the industry since you started is.
Well, when I started, everything was motorcycle and it went to three wheelers and then four wheelers. And each one of them was a big jump. When they came out with four wheelers, it was like a huge deal over three wheelers. And then the side by sides, when they started, pretty big change. Probably really the biggest change in the industry is where the OEMs now just have so much control over what you can do in your dealership or what they want you to do and how you're compensated. That's probably the biggest change. We're used to it was here's the price and now it's, well, it's this price unless you can do this and that and jump through these 10 hoops, then we'll give you this much more. That's probably the bigger change that the industry is on the dealers.
You've been a part of our 20 group for a while. How has that made a difference for you professionally?
A little more introspection. A little, it's good to make me think about what I really should be doing and things that you were doing and quit doing. And it's actually really good. Yes.
Well, thank you so much to our guests for joining us today, and a huge thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I hope you found today's conversation insightful and inspiring. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others in the power sports industry. We're excited to see you at the next one.